It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back everybody to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 12 to 2, football season. Thanks so much for joining me today. Hey, our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're not online, you have already missed my first tweet, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. We tweet during the show. If you're not following me, then you will not be able to see what it is that we're tweeting. So, follow me online during the show on at Glink. And then sign up for the free weekly newsletter, because if you're not signing up for that, you're missing all kinds of fun. And one of the things that you're missing, and I don't want you to miss this, we have launched the Equifax Finance blog, the first of what I hope will be an annual Family Money Matters video contest. We want to know how you manage your money. If you've been listening to this show for the last 14 or 15 years, including the time that I've been on with Clark, then you have some pretty darn good ideas about how to manage your money. And I know that because from time to time, we do shows where I ask you to call in with your best tips and advice. I'm going to ask you for that today as well. And I have learned so much from you. As much as you say you've learned from me, I learned from you as well. And there have been some marvelous tips and suggestions on saving money that I have incorporated over the years into different speeches and things that I've done. And this whole category on the Equifax Finance blog is all about money and people saving money and living their lives every day, just like you, just like me, and figuring out how to do a better job with it. Because you know what? If your income is like so many people that we've heard from over the last 4 or 5 years, it's shrunk. You're doing more with less. You're paying higher gas prices, higher food prices, higher costs of everything. I know inflation isn't an issue, right? If you listen to the talking pundits, inflation's not an issue. But it is in my pocketbook. And I know it is in yours as well. And so what we decided to do with the Equifax Finance blog was to do a video contest. Now, there are no extra points for beautiful production values. What I want you to do is take your phone, hit the video record button, and just talk to me. Tell me what it is that you're doing that's smart, that's saving money, that's helping you manage your money. And I want you to upload it to the Family Finance blog at Equifax Finance blog. So just go to Equifax.com, click on the link that says Finance blog, or I will tweet out the link for you today during the show. Well, during the next break. It's really hard to type and talk at the same time. So I try to wait until we get to a break, and then I do some tweeting. But I will tweet this out, at Glink, and you'll get the exact link. And what I want you to do is just share your best stories. Now, I know everybody needs a little bit of encouragement. So here's what we're offering. The finalists, there will be at least five, but if we get really great ones, we might do as many as 10. The finalists will get a free year of the really cool top-level credit management stuff that Equifax sells. You will be able to get online and manage your credit really well and understand it and be able to help your family with it and all the rest. So you're going to get that. And that's, I don't know what that's worth. That's worth a few hundred bucks. The grand prize is a $1,000 gift card from Discover Card. We reached out to Discover Card and we said, would you like to join us in this contest? And they said, oh, yeah, we're all about managing money better. And so they have joined us. They've offered this gift card and we offer it to you. And what I want to see are your very best stories. So it couldn't be easier to enter. There's a whole bunch of rules and regulations. You basically have to be 18. Your video can't be longer than 5 minutes. Don't use any, like, name brands. Please don't put any of your personal financial information. Like, don't start out with, hi, I'm Susie, and here's my Social Security number, and look at my Visa card. Like, just please don't. No identifying numbers, no credit information, none of that. It's going to be very hard. We can't publicize it. Because what we're trying to do is gather all of your best tips, and then we're going to share them with the whole ThinkLink community, the whole Equifax community. We're going to push the winning videos all the way out so everybody can learn The whole point of this is to share what you know so everybody does it better. That's the whole goal. So I want you to participate. I will tweet out where to go, or if you don't want to wait for me to get to a commercial break, go to Equifax.com and click on the finance blog. And there's right at the top, there's a red bar that will talk about it, the contest. It takes you to a page. It couldn't be easier to fill it out. And you fill it out, and we will respond right away, let you know we got it. And it's all going to be great. And I just love it. So today I thought we'd talk a little bit on the show about this, and then we're going to get into some of the latest news that came out this week. Stock market was up, and I have to tell you, the higher it got this week, it ended the week at around 13.5, made me very, very nervous. The stuff going on in the Middle East also made me very nervous. Our hearts went out to the diplomat who lost his life. Really horribly tragic and sad. And then we had, you know, just the whole September 11th remembrance. I don't know what you did, but I found myself watching MSNBC because they just ran their coverage from the day on NBC. And it reminded me of where I was on September 11th, and I want to talk about that as well. So, of course, we're never going to have enough time to get it all in, and I want to get to your questions. 404-872-0750. You want to make sure that we get to everybody's questions to you today. And if you've got some great tips on how you've managed money and saved money, please share those as well. We would love to hear them. All right, let's go to the phones. Michael joins us on the line. Hi, Michael. Calling all the way from Michigan. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I had called in about 3 or 4 months ago regarding my mom's estate. She had changed her will and left me the primary beneficiary.
Okay.
I'm one of 10 children, and she changed her will in February of 2010. She passed away in November of 2011.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate that. And once the siblings found out that I was the primary beneficiary, they are screaming bloody murder.
And why did she do this for you?
Because I took care of her the last 3 years of her life exclusively. 24 hours a day, seven, I moved in with her to take care of her, sole caregiver. And I never got a break because they wouldn't help me. And I also have health issues of my own. But now we had the same attorney. He took himself out once he had updated the will and all that. She had her money with an annuity company, and he suggested that she change it from the siblings to the estate of, you know, her name.
Right.
So now I'm kind of out of the loop. I'm hearing it from one sister who is totally agrees with me, that they are saying that she was coerced in doing this, and also she might have had dementia, but she was not of sound mind. Although the attorney that set the will up and did all the work said at the time, and it's his affidavit that I do have on record, everything was fine. They were alone when they did it, and she was of sound mind at the time.
So let's stop for a minute and take a step back, because this is not just a money question. It's never really just a money question, but this is so much about your mom and you, and then in the larger relationship, you picking up these pieces, because of course she didn't tell anybody that she was doing this, right?
No, she did not.
So it came as a huge shock.
Except for one sister, and my sister knew about this.
Right. So she's the one who supports you, right?
Right.
Because she got told ahead. And what happens when parents die and expectations haven't been managed is it leaves a huge freaking mess. An emotional mess. It's worse than anything else. Even if what you're talking about is $10,000 a person, it doesn't really matter. It's what they're feeling is my mother didn't love me.
Well,
she
really
loved you better.
Anymore.
I understand that, and she may have had every reason for that. I'm just saying from their perspective,
right?
They're feeling like their mother didn't love them as much and played favorites, and they're feeling cheated. Now, I don't think it's your responsibility to fix that for them, because they have to live with what they didn't do. They had time, and they didn't do it. They didn't help you. They didn't help their mom. And this is what happens. Now, from your point of view, they have every right to sue you unless the will contained a provision that said anybody who tries to sue or change this will is automatically precluded from benefiting.
Exactly. There's a line in there that anyone who disputes it is out.
So they're going to have a really tough time. And how much money are we talking about?
Approximately $400,000.
Which I'm sure seems like the world to them. And you know, because you know how much all this health stuff costs, it doesn't go as far as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have children?
No, I don't.
So you're going to have to decide what to do with this money when you're gone. And you'll have to write a will and do some investments. Or if you plan to use it up, use it up. But you never know, of course, exactly
right.
What's going to happen. So you're going to have that conversation with your advisors. For your siblings, I think they're, you know, do you have any relationship with them whatsoever?
No, I haven't heard from them since my mother died.
And what are you afraid of?
That they may be able to file suit and have the will go back to one that she had before, which was several years old, where it was divided up by the annuity company.
And what makes you think that's a possibility?
Well, just the new lawyer, once her original lawyer stepped out because of conflict of interest, he had done work for me in the past as well. Now, the new attorney, he just seems to be dragging his feet. And also, I talked to him because they had a hearing on last Thursday, the 13th, and he said, well, they may want to talk to you, and I think we should hear them out. And I said, no, because this is not what my mother wanted at all.
So you need a different attorney. And I'll tell you, I just went through this where I had to fire an attorney. I was in a situation, we were heading to a lawsuit with a former business partner. And this guy just wanted to make nice. I said, look, I hired you to be a pit bull.
Exactly.
I hired you to kill these people. And you just want to be their friend. And I don't want you to be their friend. I'm telling you, you're not going to get anywhere until you get tough. And he thought I was out of line. And in fact, he fired me. To be perfectly honest, because he thought I was being irrational. I went and I hired a pit bull with a much bigger firm, and I said, look, clean this up. This is what I'm hiring you to do. If you don't think you can do it, tell me now before we engage. But once we engage, my expectation is you will bear down and you will make this happen. And he looked at me and he said, no problem, Elise, we're going to do it. And in a week, it was done. So you have the wrong attorney. You need a new attorney who is a pit bull, and he needs to corral. Think of him as being a cowboy on the range, and he's corralling the cows. He's got to lasso them all and get them in the gate and close the pen.
Well, there was some sort of a hearing to see if anyone had put through up had filed anything, and no one had at the time. Then this letter came out, which I wasn't privy to, but my sister told me about it. Everyone else got it, but not me, saying, you know, how she was coerced and all this stuff, which blew my mind because they never came over here, so they don't know what kind of state she was in. And she was so fed up with them that when they did come over, which was few and far between, she wouldn't talk to them besides, you know, hello, you know, and
listen,
that's about it.
She has, your mom made peace with it, and you're going to make peace with it. And if you want to enforce what your mom wanted, you're going to have to hire a different attorney who's a lot tougher and seems to have more of your interests in mind. Hearing them out is fine as a strategy, only because once you hear them out, you know exactly where they're going, and then you can develop your own strategy. But I don't think your lawyer is up for the task.
Well, I know where they're going. They want it split, you know, the 10 ways.
I get it. I get what they're...
Years ago.
Right, and it's good to hear how they think they're going to do it, and a really good lawyer could get them talking, and they'll relieve... They will reveal all of your innermost secrets. But that's not the attorney that you have, I don't think. My inner gut is telling me you need somebody else to protect you better. And even if you pay $10,000 or $15,000 to this new litigator to protect you, it's worth it because you're going to end up with all the money.
Where do I find a new attorney?
I'm going to tell you right now. So you're calling from the state of Michigan.
Right.
Where are you in Michigan?
It's near Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Perfect. Ann Arbor, just like in the state of Georgia, like every state, Ann Arbor has an Ann Arbor bar. The Atlanta Bar Association, there's an Ann Arbor Bar Association.
Mm-hmm.
Call them. Talk to the person who's the head of the estate committee, estate. So it's somebody who deals with estates all the time. You can also ask for the head of the litigation committee. These are people who are attorneys who are on top of everything, and they're the ones who will know the best attorneys. Tell them your story. Tell them what you need. Tell them what's not going right. Ask for some referrals. Go talk to those attorneys. You need a litigator who specializes in estate work, and it may end up being an estate attorney who also does litigation. You need somebody who does that, who can go and kill these people. Not, obviously, literally,
right,
but who can do this for you. And once you do that, I think you're going to really understand what you've got to do. Let me know what happens, Michael. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays. Don't forget to go to my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. We are going to do our Real Estate Insight segment sponsored by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda Duffy is with us. Hey, welcome back, Rhonda.
Thank you.
33% of homeowners are underwater with their mortgage, and according to the latest CoreLogic data, nearly half of all homeowners under the age of 40 are underwater.
It's staggering.
Nearly half. I mean, it just has profound implications, not just for those individuals, but for, I think, our country at large. When somebody is in that situation, there's a myriad of decisions that they have to make. Where do you think they should start?
I think they should start with, do you want to live in your home for the next 10 years, or do you want to go? That tells a lot about the decision path that you have to make, and it tells your lender about what you want to do.
So if you want to stay in the home, what are your options?
Loan modification. Call, you know, first you have to prove to them that there's a reason why you don't think you can afford your home. So that doesn't have to be right now. You can be current on your mortgage. But if there's some reason, job loss, loss of income, death in the family, divorce, relocation, medical bills, you know, really any kind of hardship, if there's some reason that you have a hardship now or you can foresee it in the future, you need to start planning and taking action now.
And if you don't want to stay in the home,
then you should short sell.
Okay. And short sale involves a whole other thing. I mean, once they actually have the contract, maybe they can get it through. And what is the average time? 58, 60 days?
58 days for us right now. That changes when new rules come out. Sometimes it's quicker. Sometimes it's longer. But, you know, there's time. And I think the first thing that panics somebody is, well, how long will I be able to stay in my home? You're going to be in your home probably 30 to 60 days to get a buyer, 58 to get an approval, another 25 days. So you've got time. You're not moving out right then. Don't move out.
But the key decision is, are you going to stay or are you going to go? You've got
Correct.
A blog post on this, don't you?
Yes,
today?
I do. RhondaDuffy.com.
All right. Go check it out. Real Estate Insight, sponsored by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. When we come back, we're going to take more of your questions. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
Find your expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
37 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Hey, thanks for joining me today on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750 is the number. Don't forget to join me online. I've just tweeted out the information for the Equifax Finance Blog Family Money Matters video contest. It's our first annual. If it goes well, we're going to do it again. And all you have to do is send in a video. We got a video entry within an hour after announcing the competition on Friday. I think it was Thursday or Friday it went live. And you've got a couple of weeks to do this. It is really cool. We're very, very excited about being able to share everybody's tips and tricks. So be sure to go to the Equifax Finance blog or just follow me on Twitter, right? Follow me on Twitter because we are posting and reposting all the time the information about the blog. We want you to enter. We have great prizes. And think about all the other people you're going to help by sharing the story about how you manage your family's money. It is a win-win for everybody. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Sid joins us on the line from Pennsylvania. Oh, it's a very national show today. Hey, Sid, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you today?
Yeah, I got your name from the local paper. You have articles they print new. I got your 800 number from there.
Good.
I have a question. I have a 56-year-old son who is on this Social Security disability.
Mm-hmm.
He's married. He has a child. And they have a present mortgage of 7.25%. Now, they filed for bankruptcy about 2.5 years ago. They have 3 judgments against them, which are on hold. I understand. The lawyer sent me the paperwork. Can someone like that get a modified reduction in interest rate? I don't know whether he could even file for
What kind of a loan does he have?
It's a 30-year loan.
Is he, like, no, I mean, is it an FHA loan, a VA?
No, I know they pay MIP.
Say that again?
They pay that 0.5% or 0.25% mortgage insurance payment. They pay that.
Right. So MIP is actually code for the FHA version of it, but PMI is the code for sort of the conventional lending.
That I don't know. I would have to check that out.
That's important, Sid, because if you're trying to help and he has a loan with 7.25%, and if by chance it's an FHA loan, then getting that lowered right now should be a fairly simple task.
Well, it's being managed by a bank.
What is?
The loan. In other words, he pays.
Yes, FHA loans are serviced by banks.
Okay.
And lenders.
It's an FHA loan. I'm not sure. I think so.
If it's an FHA loan, then what he needs to do, or what you need to do on his behalf, I'm not sure. When you say he's disabled, is it a mental disability,
yes,
or physical?
Yes, he is. He functions, but he can't work.
Right. Is he able to make decisions for himself? Financial decisions?
To a certain extent, yes. I am the...
You're the power.
Okay.
So if you're the financial power of attorney, or power of attorney for financial matters...
Well, Social Security, I'm the... What they call it, they have a name for that. In other words, I'm the person who handles his finances from Social Security.
That must be pretty tough for you.
Well, it isn't easy. I have to help him out besides that.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure he and his wife and kids need help, and it's amazing that you're in a position to be able to help him.
Well,
but
fine.
I'm sure
his wife works. It's okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure this is. I mean, I'm a parent of 2 boys. If this happened to one of my children when they were in their 50s, and it interrupted the life that I had imagined for them, I can imagine this is pretty hard for you.
No.
And I'm glad you're trying to do something to help. That's really amazing. A lot of parents don't. They just step back. It's too hard for them. So you're a strong guy, and I really respect that. If it's an FHA loan,
yes,
there's something called an FHA streamline refinance. They don't pull any work history. They don't look at your credit. They don't do an appraisal on the property. They just simply lower the interest rate. And that's why it's important to find out what kind of a loan it is. You should get the loan paperwork, and at the top, it'll tell you what kind of a loan it is.
Okay.
If it's a Fannie Freddie loan, then he may have to go through HARP, which is makinghomeaffordable.gov. And it's makinghomeaffordable.gov. It's the government program that all the big lenders work with. They're all familiar with it now. And you would go through that. And if it's some sort of wacky loan, I don't know what to tell you, because there may be nothing that he can do to get help.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to interrupt you. It's hard on the telephone. No, it was a regular loan. Went through real estate and all this kind of stuff. It was not a screwed-up loan.
Yeah, but when I say... Right. So, but when I say wacky, there could have been other things added to it. You don't know until you see the paperwork. So go find the paperwork. If it's an FHA loan, you're looking to do an FHA streamline refinance. If it's not an FHA loan and it's Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, conventional, then you probably are going to have to go through HARP, or maybe he's not eligible for that either.
Well, if I were to call the mortgage company up, and there was a mortgage company on the books that says that for $500, if you talk to them, they'll evaluate whether they can refinance for you.
No. Nobody should ask you for $500 up front. I don't know what that is. That's not what you want. You want to call them and say, I have an FHA loan. I want to do an FHA streamline refinance. And if it's not an FHA loan, I want you to go to Making Home Affordable and read about the HARP program, because you can shop around to any lender. All the big lenders can do it.
Well,
and some are more interested than others. You don't have to go through the servicer that is currently servicing this loan. So I want you to read the rules about it so you, when you call, in your head, you understand what you're talking about. Because that's the only way to get this done.
Well, if I were to walk into a bank, let's say...
No, you can't walk in.
Okay.
It's not... The people sitting at the desks are not equipped to help you the same way. Most of them. You might get lucky. You probably won't. You're a little resistant, Sid. I want you to go to this website and read about it, because it's got all the information about who qualifies, the types of loan that qualify, and all the rest. If he doesn't qualify for HERP, then you can go into the bank or call the bank directly and say, what can you do for me in a private refinance? And if the loan, the lender or the servicer happens to be Bank of America or Wells Fargo or Chase, I may be able to help you there. But you've got three or four steps that you need to follow.
Okay.
Before you're going to be able to get there. This is complicated, and not that it can't be done, but you're in, still in a really horrific aftermath of a housing crisis, of a real estate depression, and you're not going to just be able to do shortcuts. It's unfortunately going to be very time-consuming. You're going to need a ton of paperwork, and at the end, hopefully you can get the loan lowered from 7.25 to maybe 4.5, and that will probably make a difference. And the best and easiest thing would be a VA streamline refinance or an FHA streamline refinance, and that's what you have to figure out first. And then you can call back next week and let me know what happens. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Michelle joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Michelle, what's going on with your housing situation?
Hey, hi. I feel like I might be coming up toward a break, but I really hope you can give me the time and attention I need.
I've got 5 whole minutes for you.
Okay, great.
We can cover so much.
Thank you. Okay, this is where I stand. I am in the process of trying to be a real estate investor, and I've been approved for about $120,000 in terms of being able to secure some property.
Love that.
Yeah, I do too. And I have the down payment, you know, the 20% that's needed. But one of my challenges is that I see these properties that are going for $30,000-$40,000. Because I don't have cash, I see that it's really being a challenge, because word on the street is that if a listing agent has contact with other investors, they're not going to be looking at somebody who has a loan and a buyer's agent. So I'm really thinking maybe I should just go a route of just contacting the listing agent myself and asking that person to be a dual agent. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I just feel like when they see my paperwork, I just kind of throw them to the side, because they don't want to split the small commission that they have. And plus, I have a loan. So can you offer any advice on that?
All right. So you're totally frustrated, because the real estate market isn't acting the way you think it should. And I think you're thinking about that the right way. What you've done is run into the reality that when it's a teeny tiny commission and there are lots and lots of buyers looking for a minuscule number of really great investment properties, the agent is going to go with her own selfish best interests. And she is going to pick somebody that she already represents to do as easy and clean a deal and fast as possible to maximize her return on investment, right?
I can understand that.
So buyer's agent is great, but it's not working for you right now.
Right, it's not.
So what you need to do is you need to find an agent who actually is in touch with the lender REOs, who knows these properties going on. Your agent clearly may be a fabulous buyer's agent, but isn't enough in the know to get you there.
He's not.
So what are you doing with them? Girlfriend, what are you doing with a guy that you already know isn't the right guy?
Well, let me just say this. I used him 8 years ago when I bought my home. You know, like you said, it was a totally different market then. But I thought I could resume that relationship and have him help me. But because things have changed so much, I had an epiphany the other day when I was talking to him. And the things that he was saying, I was like, I have to cut ties with him, because I'll never get anything with his type of thinking.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And you called me to just say bingo to you, because you've had the epiphany. You just said it yourself. He's the wrong agent for the wrong time. And you figured out you're never going to get anywhere if you keep working with him.
Right. So I need to know how do I do this now?
You know,
he's not gonna tell me that.
Right. You start at the beginning. So now, are you interested in HUD homes? You go to HUDHomestore.com, which is where all the HUD homes, the FHA foreclosures, are listed. You look at the brokers who have helped people make successful bids for them. You contact those brokers. You want to find REOs? Look in the neighborhood. Who's listing the foreclosures? Go to those places. Go to those agents. Find out who they are. Talk to them about who they have and they're working with. Find an agent who does only works with investors or has a maximum number of investors who are active and constantly buying things. You need to get into that rotation.
Okay. All right. And what about the short sale agents?
Fine. That's a whole different market. And the foreclosure agents, the REOs, most of them are not as good as they are at short sale. Short sale takes a longer period of time. The agents usually get a flat fee from the lenders. And the lenders have to accept the deals. It's moving faster than it's been for the last 5 years. But that's a whole different type of agent mentality. How many short sale sides are they closing per year? How many short sale buyers are they looking for? What is the price range that they're working in? What is the neighborhood range? How many different lenders are they working with? REO, same kind of questions. How many active investors are you working with? How many buyer sides and seller sides are they working with? What is the price point? What are the neighborhoods? Who are the lenders that you're working with? And how many new properties are you dealing with every week?
Okay.
Those are the questions you're supposed to be asking.
Oh, I should have recorded this call. Okay. All right.
I'm working on a webinar, and we're recording this particular segment this week. And so I have in my mind, like, all these things that you're supposed to be asking all these agents. But think about it. It's common sense, right? It's who are you working with? How are you working with them? How are you getting people there? And how are you going to get me in that rotation so that my number will come up fast?
Okay. So
you're dumping this guy.
Yeah. I got
to go. He's gone. You got to get going or you're never going to get a house.
It's right. That is so true. And the final question that you asked is, but is there, and I know sometimes there might be a little danger in working with someone who is a dual agent, so I guess I probably just need to pick up your book again.
Get my book, my newer one, Buy, Close, Move In, because it's for investors just like you. And
What is the name again, Emily?
Buy, Close, Move In.
Okay.
You're not going to move in. Somebody, a renter, is going to move in. It's on Amazon. You can download it to a Kindle or an iPad. You can get an actual book in like 2 days from Amazon. Buy, Close, Move In. It is for investors. It will teach you all this stuff. It will talk to you about opportunities and identifying amazing opportunities. And then you're just going to go out and you're going to do the real world work. And sign up for my weekly newsletter because you're going to get more information there about all this. And then when the webinar is done, you'll be able to get that.
Perfect. And will you announce that in your newsletter about the webinar?
Absolutely. We keep you up to date on everything. This week we announced our contest, our Money Matters Family Finance Managing Contest. Anybody can enter, do a video, win $1,000. It's all awesome. But we'll get to the webinar probably in a few weeks. And then we're going to be doing investment seminars as well. So you'll be able to get back in the room with me as we talk to you about being an investor. And that's going to come just after the first of the year. All right, I got to take a quick break. Michelle, let me know what happens, okay? I want you to fire this guy and move on. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. Be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
58 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. You know, I'm so proud of Michelle, our last caller. I mean, she had this incredible epiphany this week that the guy she was working with, this realtor that she worked with 8 years ago, isn't working. And he's not working because times are different and he hasn't evolved with the times. And the message, the large message here, folks, is if you want to invest in property, it's different. If you want to buy homes just to live in, it's different. If you want to sell homes, it is really hard. And so you need a real estate agent who's different and understands that the market is different and understands how to get you what you want, whether it's buying, investing, or selling. And her epiphany was, oh my gosh, this guy's not doing it. And then she called me so that I could say, girlfriend, dump him. It's time to move on. And that's what you need to do. You always need to assess where you are in life and how you're going to get to where you want to go. And I'm so so pleased to be able to be here every single week for you to help you along that path. 404-872-0750 is our number. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show. Got a whole nother hour. I need some more coffee. Coming up next, stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 6 minutes past the hour. I've been tweeting online. Are you following me there? At Glink on Twitter, at G-L-I-N-K. And don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. And I should have mentioned to Michelle, if you're still listening, I have written a whole slate of ebooks on investing. Those are already up at Amazon, and you can buy the whole thing for $2.99. And it's got information on accounting and investments and all kinds of stuff you really need to know. I wrote those, and then I realized that this was a bigger webinar project. And so first I've got these ebooks, the webinar, some of it's being shot this week. We're hopefully going to get it all shot over the next couple of weeks and then edited and then up, and you'll be able to go and get it. And then hopefully by January, we're going to be doing another investing in real estate seminar, which I think everybody really enjoys. And there's just a whole lot of really fun stuff going on. So ThinkLink community, guys, get involved, get online. We are redoing thinklink.com. The newsletter has such great information. We really want you to be a part of it. And then from there, you get to see all the Equifax Finance blog stories and the Yahoo stories and the Money Watch stories on CBS News and all the rest. It goes on and on and on. So exciting. 404-872-0750. And I will get back to the phones in just a minute. I want to, though, talk a little bit more about, we had Michelle in our last hour. She's the real estate investor who woke up this week and said, oh my gosh, this agent that I've been working with for, 8 years ago when he helped me buy my house, he's the wrong guy for the times. And it is so scary to listen to your gut. It's so scary when that light bulb goes on and you realize, I am doing the wrong thing. I'm moving in the wrong direction. I am not with the people, the team that I need to be with to achieve these goals. That's such a scary moment. Michelle couldn't wait to pick up the phone and call me for some reassurance that she had had the right epiphany. She has. But it is really scary to listen to your gut. And I have to tell you, you want someone else to mirror this back for you. And sometimes you're going to be wrong. So I am so careful because my team is really special at my office. The people I've put together, we have about 10 people. We're doing really interesting, really good work. And I want everybody to work together. And I want them to work on projects that are meaningful, like the Equifax Finance blog or our Money Watch stuff or Yahoo. And I want them to be engaged. And I'm so protective. And yet, and so what I do for that is I try to vet all of these future business partners. And I got caught last year. I mentioned how I almost got to litigation with a former partner, but I had a situation with a client, not a partner, just a client. And it came to the end of our engagement, and he suddenly decided that he didn't want to pay us the last chunk of money for our project. Project was already done. And he'd been paying all along. There was no reason for me to think that he was just going to blow it out of the water, but he did. And I vetted this guy so carefully. And he had paid us a substantial amount of money, always right away, always with a check, check always cleared, and he just decided he wasn't going to. He sort of flipped on the dime. I couldn't have seen it coming. I clearly made a mistake. And there was a price to pay for that mistake. But getting fooled, even, it happens to people like me, right? People who are accomplished, it doesn't matter how accomplished you are. It doesn't matter how carefully you vet business partners or personal partners or professionals that you're going to have work for you. You will make mistakes. And you will get fooled. I get fooled. And then the epiphany that comes from that, as you're licking your wounds, is it so much harder to trust the next time. it's hard. Because there's some piece of you that thinks, I'm going to make this mistake again. And what usually happens is you don't make the same mistake. You make a different mistake. And you can't plan for every mistake. And sometimes even when you plan as well as you can, like I did, you're still going to get mistakes. But when the stakes go up, right, when there's big money at stake, like for Michelle, it's $120,000 she wants to invest, maybe in smaller $40,000 chunks. I mean, we're talking huge money. And it's not even just money, right? Beyond that, it's her future. This is her future she's talking about. This is where she wants to go with her life. It's the future that she has envisioned for herself. And I know what you're thinking. I might make another mistake. I might get derailed. I could lose that $120,000 because I might trust the wrong guy. The money will disappear. The opportunity will go away, and I could set myself back a decade. That is perfectly understandable. But what happens when you get to that place where you can't trust, that place where you don't know how to make it happen anymore, that's when you get stuck. And the fear has to be broken through. You've got to get through that fear that you're going to make another mistake, and you're going to have to trust, like I've had to trust, that the next client, the next business partner, the next person I bring online is going to be okay. It's going to be fine again. You can't allow yourself to get so bogged down and so stuck that you don't make any moves. And what do I always say? When you get to that place, you got to make a move in any direction. Right? Because moving in any direction means you're not stuck. So even if it's in the wrong direction, this is a really important step forward. This is a way for you to move on, because when you move backwards, even if it's the wrong direction, you're unstuck and now you can readjust. But you have to not get so scared that you don't listen to your insides, you don't listen to your gut. You know when something's wrong. Michelle knew when something's wrong. I knew when this guy didn't write me a check the day after I sent the bill, I knew he wasn't going to pay me. It took 2 more months for him to give me that official confirmation. But when he broke tradition at what he had been doing, which was writing me a check the day I gave him a bill, always reassuring me I pay every bill and I pay it on time, that's when I knew. I knew it in my gut. I didn't know what to do about it. I knew in my gut this guy wasn't going to pay. And so, of course, the next time I'm like, well, they're going to have to pay up front 100%. And Sam looked at me and said, are you kidding me? Nobody's going to pay you 100% up front. That's just not what we do. You're going to have to trust. That's mirroring for me my deepest fear. I'm not going to get paid. I'm not going to be able to make payroll. Just like you have all these fears. And you need somebody that you can call. For Michelle, it was me. Very honored, Michelle. Thank you. But you need somebody that you can go to and say, this is what my gut is telling me. Do you think I'm right? And they'll say to you, yeah. And here's what you might want to do about it. And that's, we've talked about this the last few weeks. That's this brain trust you put together for your life. Or if you're buying real estate, for your real estate. But really, it's for your life, right? Because business and life go together. Everything is both sides of the same coin. And I want you to be able to be in a situation of trust and confidence, because that's how you're going to succeed. And that's how you're going to move forward. Easy as that. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to our phones. Ben joins us on the line from Dacula. So, Ben, you're upside down in your loan?
Yep. So we bought the home in 2007, pretty much at the height of the bubble.
I'm sorry. Timing, nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, right. And I not sure why we did the time, but we had a first mortgage, and we purchased the home by getting the regular first mortgage and a line of credit for the second.
So did you do an 80-20?
Yeah, right.
Put nothing down.
Right.
Wow,
right.
Those were the days, right?
Right. So since then, we got to 2009, and we were able to refinance the first part. We couldn't do anything with the second part because it's not together, right?
Yep.
So we're able to refinance the first part.
And what did you bring that down to?
So it's 4.75.
Okay.
For 30 years.
Yep.
But so I'm wanting to make sure that it's all we can do, because when I go back to HARP and I went to your website and did some other looked up some other resources, we don't qualify for the new HARP because we refinanced in 2009.
After
July.
Yep.
By 2009, and May was the cutoff date.
That's right.
So I'm trying to see, are we, so when you add in that line of credit plus what we still owe on the first, we're like right at 85 or 90, still upside down.
Yep.
The line of credit is about $5,000 or $6,000 available, which doesn't really help us. So I guess I'm wondering, what should I?
How much do you owe on the line of credit?
65 total, and right now it's like 60 for balance.
Okay. You need to pay that down as quickly as possible.
Right. So we've never been late on any of our notes, and one of the options of that second gave me the opportunity to drop it down to make it interest only. So to avoid getting into trouble, I dropped that as low as I could to make it interest only so that we could stay current. So that's where we are right now. And my fear is if I go back to making more payments on that, that it may get us into some type of trouble.
Well, if it's interest only, there's no requirement that you make principal payments. But if you don't make principal payments, you're never going to get this loan paid off.
Right.
So you've got to do that. So where's the money going in your house? Have you had less income? I mean, what's changed in terms of your payments? Because when you first started this...
Right, so what's changed is twins.
Okay.
That's one thing. Income adjustment and just other, natural increases in day-to-day expenses.
So when you bought this place with 100% down, didn't you imagine that you would have kids? Didn't you imagine that you would have these other expenses? How did you think you were going to make this work?
I would have to say I wasn't as knowledgeable, or I shouldn't have. Thinking back, I would never have done it.
No, yeah.
I did. So I can't go back and cry with that, right? So I'm just trying to...
No, you can go back and learn from it, right?
Well, yeah, definitely learn from it. So, but, I mean, there's nothing... And we do plan on staying in the home for, you know, a good long time. So I did think
What do you mean by a good long time?
At least they got out of high school. And they're 2 years old now.
Okay. So you bought yourself a 16-year vision.
Yeah.
But life is only going to get more expensive. You know how I know? Because I have a 14 and a 16-year-old.
Right.
What's the big plan here?
So my plan is, once I get all of our credit cards paid off, which total is about $5,000.
Okay.
To go back and start knocking down that line of credit equity.
What do you have on the credit card debt?
What's the total amount?
No, where did that come from? What were you charging?
Oh, that was various things. I guess just over the years, probably.
All right, Ben.
But you know, I haven't charged anything on that for the last probably 4 years, 4 or 5 years. So that's
how
we've got
this. This is 4-year-old credit card debt that's still not paid off.
Well, it was much worse. We had probably $16,000 at one time.
Oh my gosh.
Right, and so we paid off a car. And then we paid off a school loan, which I still have another school loan to pay off. So that's what...
You guys are up to your eyeballs in debt. I mean, you're making progress.
You're making progress.
Okay,
right.
So you're up to your nose now. It's not your eyeballs anymore. You're down to your nose.
So actually my question to you could be that line of equity that I have available right now for that second, I could use that and knock off all of my credit card debt. Should I do that and then just start knocking that second line of credit off, or should I just not?
What's the interest rate on the second line of credit?
4.75.
And what is the interest rate you're paying on the credit card debt?
So I bounce those around. Right now it's no interest. So when it gets to where it expires, I just transfer it to another no interest card.
So why would you pay 4.75% when you're paying nothing for the money?
So that answers that question. All right.
So you're doing...
But I'm losing because I was thinking maybe it would offset the 200 and something interest I'm paying for nothing. That's kind of...
You're not paying interest. If you're paying 0%, what you're paying is $200 principal.
That's not how she explained it to me.
Who?
She explained it to the lady on the phone said that what I'm paying now does not go towards the loan at all. It's just interest. I'm only paying interest only on that second, is what she said to me.
Yes, but on the credit card debt, you're paying only principal.
Right.
So on the credit card debt, you're paying principal, and on the other, you're paying interest. So if you add to the second line of credit, you'll still be paying more interest on more money you're borrowing versus no interest and just principal on what you're paying down. Okay. You're doing it the smart way now.
Okay, I think I'm
You just have to step it up. I'm just saying, you've got to... What I want you to do, Ben, is I want you to go get some free budget counseling from Credibility.com, which is the old Consumer Credit Counseling Services of Greater Atlanta. It's
right.
free. And what I think you need to do is you've got to pump this up, babe. I mean, you've got so much debt. You're up to your nose in debt. You've got to figure out how you're going to really start to make a difference here. I want that credit card debt paid down by the end of the year. I want it paid down by August of next year for sure. I want you to start tackling that $65,000. There's no, even if you could refinance for HARP, it wouldn't be any cheaper than what you have right now. So you're looking at your life. So unless you've got another plan to bring in more money, the only thing that's open to you is to severely cut back on everything you're spending and pour it all towards getting all this debt paid off. You got to step it up. Credibility.com is going to be the place to go, and you need regular check-ins right here on the Elise Glink Show just to make sure that you're doing it the right way. We've got our prize pack coming up next. Stay tuned. I'm Elise Glink. This is News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
27 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. We're going to get back to the phones in just a minute, but now we have our WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. Listen to this. The prize value, $469 this week. It includes a four-pack of tickets to the 29th Annual Atlanta Fall Home Show, September 21st to the 23rd at Cobb Galleria, a family four-pack of tickets to the North Georgia State Fair, happening September 20th to the 30th at Jim Miller Park in Marietta, and a synthetic oil change courtesy of Braxton Automotive, and a pair of two-day tickets to Music Midtown September 21st and 22nd at the Meadow at Piedmont Park. Awesome! Win all of this $469 prize. Be the fifth caller, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Crystal. She's taking your call, and I'll be back to take more of your calls next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
35 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks so much for joining us today. Great show, everybody. And I want to wish all of my Jewish listeners a Lashana Tova, a Happy New Year. Tonight starts the beginning of the Jewish New Year, and I will be making a holiday meal and going to synagogue tomorrow. And for all of those of you who follow this sort of thing, I wish you the same. It's always a Happy New Year around this house. We do a lot of things with apples and honey. 36 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Let's go back to the phones. Rob joins us on the line from Smyrna. So, Rob, you went through foreclosure, it sounds like.
Yeah, sure did.
What happened?
Well, I got divorced at exactly the wrong time in 2008, about the time the housing bubble burst, and we couldn't sell the house, and neither one of us could afford the house. So,
how come you couldn't afford it? Is it because... Tell me what happened. Did you lose your job? Did you both take incomes?
I lost my wife's income.
Ah, so half the household income.
Yeah. Well, not quite half, but close.
Yeah.
So that's why, and I let it go to foreclosure. It took forever to go to foreclosure. We stopped paying on it in September of 08, and they finally foreclosed on it this past June.
This past June?
Yes.
June of 2012.
Almost 4 years, yes.
That's amazing. And did you live in the house that whole time?
I lived in it up until last September, and my daughter lived there until May. So effectively, yes, we lived in the house the whole time.
Wow. So you went through the foreclosure, and how did you feel about that? How did you feel living in the house and not paying on it?
Well, it was odd. I felt like I was a squatter. I really did. But, when you tell them, they say, no, we'd rather have somebody in there living there.
Yeah.
You know, the whole time we were trying to work it out, and we just couldn't work out, you know, a modification that I could afford. So they'd say, no, we want you to stay there. And so I did for a long, long time. And finally, an opportunity, basically, I needed to move. So I moved to Smyrna. I was down in Fayetteville before.
Right.
But my daughter was still in school there, so she stayed in the house. She was 21 years old.
Okay.
So she stayed in the house. So it was occupied, you know, taken care of.
That must have been so disconcerting, because you strike me, Rob, as the kind of guy who would not have wanted it to work that way, that you would have been very conscientious about always paying your bills and trying to get it done right. And it strikes me that that must have been so uncomfortable for you.
It was very uncomfortable. Very.
And were you just, what did you do with the extra, well, you were missing so much income, right? So you, it wasn't
well,
as though you were.
A good bit of my income, but I did manage to save enough. I moved to an apartment in Smyrna, and about, less than 6 months after I moved there, I managed to buy a HUD foreclosure and paid cash for it. Between a loan from my 401k and what I had put aside.
Yeah.
I'm in a two-bedroom condo now in Smyrna that I own outright, except for what I owe to my 401k.
So let's talk about that for a moment, because that's a huge turnaround. I mean, you wouldn't have qualified for a loan for up to three or four years, for sure, but you were... How much did you pay for the condo?
Not much. $46,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a nice condo. It's not a fixer-up or anything. It's a nice condo in a nice neighborhood. So, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
You have managed to turn what would have been for sure really sour lemonade into something a whole lot sweeter, and find a solution that I think has eluded so many different people who are out there. The house went into foreclosure. When you did the paperwork, I assume that you have worked it out, so they're never going to be able to come after you for the difference, right?
Correct. Although that's really the crux of my question, is I've been told that now they're not going to come after me for the difference. They're going to send me a 1099 saying that they basically gave me the $50,000 difference between what I owed and what the house sold for.
Yes, they gave it to you. It's a deficiency. The good news about that is, as long as they say they've written it off and they are not going to pursue you,
right?
Then you're going to go, the IRS would normally come back and tax you as if that was income. And you would be paying $15,000 or $20,000, but because of the way the tax law works, at least through the end of the year, and if there is somebody in heaven, maybe they'll continue it because there's so much pain out there, then you do not have to pay taxes on that money. You get to walk away without having to pay the phantom income tax on it. So this is starting over.
Yeah. But that was my primary concern, is, you know, the $50,000, or probably I was thinking more along the lines of $10,000 to $15,000 in income tax that I was going to owe on this.
That's only on federal, and it goes on. No, it's marginal. I bet when you would be all said and done, you would owe close to $20,000 federal and state income tax on that $50,000. And now it's going to go away. You're going to get this thing. It's forgiven. Completely forgiven, and keep hold of that paperwork. You never want to lose that paperwork. So it's going to be forgiven, and you get to start over. You got to draw a line in the sand, and you get to start over, and you're in a place that you own with cash, and now it doesn't matter that you don't have your ex-wife's money, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it was a wake-up call. I'm actually completely debt-free, except for what I owe my 401k now because of that.
That's amazing.
I don't know credit cards. I don't know anything.
Congratulations. What an amazing story for you to share with everybody today.
It was a wake-up call. It really was.
What are you going to do differently now? How are you going to avoid getting into the same problem going forward?
I don't buy anything I can't pay cash for. If it's something I want.
Bingo.
Put me aside for it, and when I have the money, I can buy it.
Bingo.
It really is.
You have walked through the foreclosure fire and come through on the other side, and it is a great lesson for everybody who's listening today. It can work. It can happen. You can draw a line in the sand, and you can start your financial life all over again. And that's amazing, Rob. What a great story. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So go off and enjoy, right? Because all you got to do is pay yourself back, and it's not that much money. Don't get laid off or fired, because then you're going to have to come up with all that cash right away.
Yeah.
But hang on to that job, and in a few years, you're going to be paid off entirely, and you are going to feel fantastic.
Yes, I am. But, yeah, like I said, my big concern was the tax. Now that you've answered that question, I actually have a little extra money. I could probably go back and pay my... Well, not quite, but...
Go pay yourself back. Listen, Rob, go pay yourself back as quickly as possible, because what you don't want to do is get into a situation where suddenly you need 20 grand and you don't have it. So pay yourself back. Get out of debt with your 401k. Get that back on track. Condo will be free and clear. Credit card debt free and clear. You won't owe anybody anything. And you will have the best night of sleep of your whole life. Let me know how it's going. 404-872-0750. Kay joins us on the line from Bethlehem. So, Kay, it sounds like you're a little stuck, huh?
Just a little bit.
Tell me.
I am facing a little bit of a roadblock. I was recently laid off, and they graciously...
What did you do? Where did you get laid off from? What kind of a job?
Say the name?
No, you don't have to say the name, but what kind of a job was it?
I was a bookkeeper for 14 years for a wonderful company, and it's a long story, but they were gracious enough to pay me severance through the end of the year.
Okay.
So some of the roadblocks I am looking at, I'm a single mom with a house, and I've already made the phone calls to my mortgager and to that Hope hotline that you mentioned.
Yep.
And the roadblock I'm running into is that because I'm on severance and not unemployment, most of them won't work ahead of time with me to make arrangements.
What are you doing to find a new job? That should be job number one for you.
All day, all night, on the computer, hitting the road.
You've listened enough to my show, so you know that I believe that while the computer is really good, and it's really great if you're like a computer engineer, because that's what they're really looking for online, there are some professions where what you really need to do is get out there and network face-to-face. What are you doing to get yourself out there meeting the kinds of people who would need bookkeepers like you?
I have a fantastic network of people that I have been talking to weekly, daily. So that's actually part of the equation, that I don't want to react prematurely to go through all the hassle of doing all these things to avert financial disaster when I could very well have a job in the next week.
Well, do you think you're going to have a job in the next week? Because then you and I are going to have an entirely different conversation.
Well, I'm not going to count those eggs until they're in the basket, so I just have a few good options.
How long is the severance going to last?
Basically, it will pay my bills through the end of the year.
Awesome.
At that point, yes, they were very gracious. And at that point, I have, quite a bit of time to find a job, which I don't have any questions that I'll be able to do, but...
And
they're not always lining up where I want them to right now.
There's nothing that you can do in terms of redoing your mortgage when you don't have a job.
Okay.
Right? The only thing that you would qualify for is the HARP unemployment program, and you don't even want to go there. So I want you to take as many steps to get these deals nailed, the jobs offered, line up the employment. I want that to be next, because then you're going to have a little pot of cash left that you can stick right into your emergency savings.
Right.
So that you're going to have a very Merry Christmas.
I sure hope so.
So really, your job, you think your roadblock is that you can't get anybody to work with you on your mortgage. The real roadblock is you have to get a job.
Right.
Because once you have a job, then you're going to be able to do whatever you want with refinancing under HARP, loan modification, whatever. And you don't know right now what kind of help you're going to need. But I'm here to tell you, as a small business owner, bookkeepers who understand QuickBooks and can do basic stuff and take over that, they are so needed. It is really hard to find somebody you can trust. And you should be marketing your services so that even once you get a full-time job, you've got some part-time little backup work helping small business owners that you know, and working yourself into a place of responsibility that you can help get it done, and that's extra income coming to you. And leveraging your expertise across all of this is just going to make it so much easier for you to do what you need to do to protect yourself.
Right.
So
and that's definitely part of the option I was looking at, because I know so many small business owners that just don't have time or the money to pay somebody full-time. But
they don't want to pay somebody full-time. They want to pay somebody part-time, and they want somebody really good who's going to always be there and rely on them, and this sounds like an amazing opportunity for you.
Right.
This just sounds like an amazing opportunity for you.
Well, I hope so. God always takes care of me and provides all these opportunities, but I'm
trying to organize
everything right now, and also with the education, because I had a problem with college not transferring credits, so I have more than 2 years, but I don't have a degree, so that kind of hinders. But
let's talk about, Kate, so let's talk about how you're going to emotionally get through to when it's more settled, because it's unsettled right now. It's really scary. It's scary to not be able to think that, you know, you might not be able to pay something. You're fine till the end of the year, but you've heard on this show for months now how I say that people who've been out of work are out of work, like, for years at a time.
Right.
Right? So it's really scary. How are you going to cope? How are you going to settle yourself down and get settled into it? How are you going to feel better? How are you coping?
Well, I'm actually... I guess I've just had so many things that God's provided, I'm emotionally fine.
Good.
It's just a matter of time. And, I mean, I have savings that would take me on thereafter, even if I did have to go on unemployment. But it's just, you know, trying to avert or know which direction to take, because when I talked to my mortgage company, you know, in preparing for the worst-case scenario, they either said loan modification or forbearance.
Right. Well, the unemployment is forbearance. That means they just put a stop on everything.
Right.
So those are options that are available to you in the worst-case scenario. And I love that you're – this tells me that you're a really good bookkeeper, right? Because you're meticulous and you're thinking through the different options and you're trying to make sure it's okay. But it sounds very dispassionate to me. And I want to know, in the middle of the night, is that when you're really awake and scared and your mind just won't shut off? Because it's got to be happening for you, and I just want you to be aware and tap into it and feel it so that you can help put it aside.
Well, it's always disconcerting because I was very well treated, and I actually loved my boss. It was one of those jobs that was, it was a gift from God. The week I got divorced, and they have taken care of me for 14 years, so... You know, it's hard to replace just such a fantastic setting, but again, you know, I've been taken care of so many times by God. I know something there's really a great opportunity out there, and I would love to be able to do something like you were stating as far as building up a side business to the point where it could sustain me.
Well, I think you should be focusing on that, and it sounds like that is where you should channel this extra nervous energy. The nervousness or the worry, the concern that you must be having, like maybe it would be the worst case scenario, I want you to channel it into starting to make these connections with small business owners that you know, that your former boss knows. Start networking around and seeing what you can do for people part-time, at night, on the weekends, in the mornings before you would go to a regular job. And right now you have your days free as well. Start pulling in that business and building a platform for yourself so that when things go well, they're going to be really going well, and you're going to start to build a place where you can protect yourself going forward no matter what happens. That's what I want. I don't want the rug pulled out from under you. I want you to be so protected that no matter how bad it gets, you're going to be just fine. It's 51 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 57 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. You know, We've had such amazing calls today, and I think the lessons of the show, you know, it seems like when we get to, you know, the end of a show, I kind of look back, and usually these shows have a theme, and I would say to you that today's theme is you have to trust. You have to trust yourself to understand where you are and where you need to go. And when something happens, like a foreclosure, a divorce, loss of a parent, fighting with siblings, being laid off, I mean, these are all things that we've talked about today. When this happens, you have to dig deep inside yourself. It could be faith, it could be a higher power, a God, whatever it is you think you're praying to, but I want you to dig deep, because it's the answers are there. You know where you need to go and how you need to take a step to get unstuck. And no matter what life dishes out, I know that you have the strength inside to take that right step, whether it's real estate and buying, selling, investing, or whether it's going and finding a job, dealing with siblings in an estate issue, taxes, whatever it is. It's just money, and you've got the tools to take the steps you need to move forward. And I'm here for you as best I can be. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. I will be back next weekend with another edition of the Elise Glink Show. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, and there's so much going on. Don't forget to enter the Equifax Finance Blog Family Money Matters video contest. Happy New Year to all of my friends who are out there, and have a great, great week.